And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis-Lake. Patty Fink will be back with us next week for sure. She promises. She's back in Dallas. And she will be back with us next week. Our guest today is Israel Luna. He is a filmmaker, and we're going to talk about independent filmmaking. How do you do it? How do you budget for it? Where his millions and millions of dollars come from?
Exactly.
Because obviously, you know. But before we get to that, it is Pledge Drive. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893.
Chris and Josh are standing by.
Doc is camera-ing by, but right now he will be off the camera and ready to answer the phone calls, 972-647-1893, or you can text to KNON at 56512. Just text KNON to 56512. You can make your pledge on your phone, or you can go to KNON.org and click on the pledge button, and a whole list of our pledge premiums is there, and you can pledge and get your pledge premium. And we
have our usual great pledge premiums, like the KNON backpack, of course, KNON t-shirts, and this one's really old, so you can get an updated one.
Well, they can't see what you're wearing.
Yeah,
Laurent.
Well, wait, where's
this is radio.
And of course, you know, it's coffee weather, so we have a coffee mug that you can get.
We do, and since we moved, I guess the coffee's imported now rather than coming from the slopes of Mount KNON. So we won't be going out picking coffee beans anymore.
So yeah, who grows them now?
I don't know. Now that we're all the way up in your people.
That was Chris.
And when you pledge to KNON, all of your money goes right to the operation of the station. Our portion of the tower lease, we're just paying a little piece of that, but we do need your help to pay that. Our tower lease is $4,600 a month. Our office rent is $2,400 a month. We just need to pay a little portion of that, so help us keep up our share of the pledging and of the pledge premiums that we need to contribute to the station for Lambda Weekly to stay on the air. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. And Laurent is doing his little dance because he just doesn't like the microphone. Whichever one he's on, have you noticed that, Josh? Whichever one he's on in the studio, he is never happy, and he has to lay across the table to get to the – we have brand-new microphones in this studio,
– they don't like me. But this one loves
you. And you are fine on our headphones on this side.
But not on this one.
Well, then get new headphones.
This is the one that counts.
See, 972-647-1893, and we're going to make Laurent buy his own new headphones. 972-647.
I'm going to excuse myself.
972-647-1893. Israel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. This is really great.
Yeah. You have a new movie coming out.
I do. Yes.
It is called?
I have two of them that I'm working on, but the next one that's going to be released is called Kicking Zombie Ass for Jesus.
Okay. And the one after that you're also working on?
It's a movie called Charlie. Have you heard of that? It's like this internet sensation kind of phenomenon thing that all the kids are doing, where you have a grid, you make like a yes and no kind of thing on a piece of paper, and you take two pencils and you put them in as an X, and then you say, Charlie, are you there? And supposedly the pencils move to yes.
Oh, is it kind of like – oh, it sounds like
it's like
a Ouija board
kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're making a movie version of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that'll be out early spring.
Definitely keeping it in the horror realm.
Yeah, well, and it's horror for kids. It's like PG-13. Mm-hmm. I'm only producing that one. I didn't have time to write it and direct it, so I passed it on to another filmmaker in Fort Worth. And so he's writing and directing it, and I'm just producing.
And that kind of gets us to where we want to go with this. How do you become a filmmaker?
Well, let's just start in the beginning with
let's,
you.
Let's
How did
start,
you get started?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I came to Dallas when I was 20, and you know, when you move from a small Texas town to the big city, you know, I had to get a lot out of my system. You know, there it was like culture shock and everything. And then, you know, realizing I was gay, blah, blah, blah. You know, you go through all that stuff. And then I realized, okay, now I have to get started here. So I started with cable access television, and I did this little cheesy soap opera called Boobs, Boys, and High Heels. It was awful, but it
sounds,
taught me.
Sounds awesome, though.
I still have a copy if you want to watch it. It was going to be like the Dallas's first gay soap opera. You know, I was trying to, you know, push buttons and be controversial and do something brand new. But you know, they don't have cable access anymore, which is so sad. But I loved doing it, and I only did like an episode and a half, and then that was
Cable access is where a lot of people learned how to use the equipment.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah. All you have to do, you know, is just pay a monthly, a yearly fee, and I think it was $50, and then you have full access to all of this, you know, at the time, high tech equipment and editing, and you just have full access to it just as a member of the cable access network.
And not that we're going way off topic. Why isn't there cable access anymore?
They just stopped funding that, right?
I think because the other equipment, just like we were talking about before the show, is so accessible other ways, and there's other ways to put your content up.
But there YouTube. Isn't,
right. I think you're right.
Well, but there used to be a broadcast channel.
There did. At least in Garland, there one still exists, but they're pretty much all they're showing is like City Hall stuff.
Huh. Okay.
No. Yeah. So I think that's what happened.
You don't see any actual like.
So nobody
content.
Was watching it, basically.
Right. Yeah. I guess. And so they it was funded by the public, I think, and the city. So
part
they just
of your
stopped.
Cable fees.
Yeah. So. Maybe. Yeah. But then that stopped.
Anyway, so you started with cable access. It taught you how to use some of the equipment.
Yes. And then I went from there to I did my first film, which was a little horror film, and it was called Is Anybody There? And it was about a Ouija board, and I just did that, and I actually had someone who believed in me, and he funded the project. It would cost $15,000, and I mean, it was a big number, but I wanted to be very professional about it. I wanted to pay everyone. I wanted to feed them, and it was a two-week shoot, and it came up to $15,000, and he said, yeah, I believe in this, and he did it, and we sold it for $25,000, and I was like,
oh wow, awesome.
Maybe I'm kind of good at this, so let me do another one. And then
so stop right there. You sold it. Who did you sell it to?
It was a company called Artistry Entertainment, and they were out of LA. Now they never released it, I mean, but the check cleared, so I didn't care what they did with it. And but they never released it. And I think they said that it was because of the they liked the story a lot, but the quality, I mean, in the year 99 or 2000, you know, all video cameras looked like video cameras.
They did.
And so that's what the movie looked like. And so they bought it, and they only had it for, I think it was a 7-year contract. And then we got the rights back, and then I remade it as Ouija Experiment. And that's been one of my biggest hits now.
Now, have you always wanted to be a filmmaker?
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome.
At 5 years old is when I saw The Exorcist. So, you know, of course, you know, when you're –
That's a great one.
Yeah, when you're 5 years old watching that, I mean, it has an effect on you. And I thought, oh, my God, I love how these images on the screen are making you feel certain things, whether it's scared or, you know, whatever. And I thought, I want to scare the pants off of people
when I'm
older.
Okay, so when you started watching films, you were seeing something in a film that most people don't when they're watching it. You saw how they were scaring people. You saw what went into
what made Linda Blair's head turn all the way around?
Right.
How did they do that?
Well, sort of. I think I was more about the reaction, because I thought when I would rent a VHS tape back in the day, I thought I would watch it first, and then if I liked it, I would think to myself, what can I show my friends that's going to shock them, that I'm going to enjoy watching them react to it? And so I had, you know, like the original Evil Dead, Sam Raimi, you know, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original one, all of those. I thought, oh, these are crazy because of the great reactions that you got from people. And then I loved sharing those. And then I eventually thought, I want to do this. I would love to create scares and jumps and make people react. And that was my adrenaline. I was like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this.
Speaking of scares, you know what could be scary, Laurent?
What?
If the phone doesn't ring. Because it is Pledge Drive.
It is Pledge Drive.
We're talking to Israel Luna. He is a filmmaker. See? And usually people tell me my transitions are just terrible.
No, your segues are awesome. And he's right. It would be scary if you don't call, because that means possibly won't be any more Lambda Weekly.
Lambda Weekly has been on the air for 30 years, since 1983. Every Sunday, except for those two miserable years when we were on Wednesday mornings at 7 in the morning and had to get up at, like, God knows when, to do the show. But other than that, we're back on Sunday afternoon and have been for years now. And we'd like to stay here. And the only way that we can do it is to show KNON that our listeners do support us. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Or text KNON to 56512. Or go online to KNON.org, click on the pledge button, and you can make your pledge there. You know, when KNON came to us and said they'd like us to do a gay show, there was no such thing anywhere at all. And a group of people just said, okay, yeah, we'll do the gay show, didn't know what it was. This is what it's become, and it's the longest-running gay show on anywhere in the world right now because we've been on every single week for 30 years.
And I hear all the time from people that they are just amazed that there's a gay and lesbian radio show in Dallas. I guess they get us confused.
And that it's the oldest one.
And it's the oldest one. Yeah, they get us confused with Houston.
Do you know?
Oh my God, there's a gay show in Texas?
I met the publisher of the Philadelphia Gay News, and he said, we've had a gay show forever, too. And I said, well, when did yours start? He said, 1985. I said,
we beat you by 2 years.
Beat you 2 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, so give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We have some wonderful pledge items for you. For is it a $50 pledge for the canvas bags? The shopping bags. Those are nice big bags. They're kind of shaped like beach bags, but has the KNON logo on it, and they're great for going shopping. Even though you don't have to shop using a reusable bag, you still can.
And you can also get, again, this is hoodie weather. You can get a KNON hoodie. And you can get it in gray or black with the logo on it, and that's for $75. And they're really good quality.
972-647-1893. Give us a call. We're talking to Israel Luna. He is a filmmaker.
Part of what I was going to say is, you know, people are shocked that we have a gay and lesbian radio show here in Dallas, and you always hear good about local talent and content out of Dallas, and Israel is one of those people. How many other gay and lesbian filmmakers locally do we get to talk to? So that's awesome. So thank you for coming on.
Actually, several, but
I'm the first.
But you're the first.
All right, there we go.
Oldest, longest-running filmmaker.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know,
lesbian.
So you were talking about your, you know, how you start out in the cable access. But still, it's not easy. Filmmaking, to actually put a film together, it's a lot of work. You wear a lot of different hats. Can you talk a little bit about that process?
And why you didn't wear any of those hats today. I'm sure they're fabulous hats.
People think it's glamorous. They think, ooh, filmmaking. They see the red carpet stuff. They see the premiere stuff. They don't see the hard work that goes into it. And a lot of them do the moment they get their foot in the door and they think, okay, I'm going to make a film. 2 weeks into it, they're like, this is not for me. And those projects never come to fruition. They never come out. You never see them because they shelve them because they're unfinished. It's hard work. You don't do it for any other reason except for it's your passion. You know, I was told a long time ago, do what you love and money will follow. I never thought to myself, well, I am going to make money off of this. I'm like, no, but I love to do it, and I make it work, and I'm still surviving, and I'm not starving, and I have a place to live, but I love to wake up every morning and do this, and it's true.
So how do you start? Is it with an idea for the film, and then you turn that into a script? Where do you start?
Yes, you start with the script, of course. You know, you just have to have a good story. And what I discovered was I'm very fortunate that my first genre love is horror, because it's the easiest sell. So you have to have a good story, meaning also a marketable story. A lot of people don't do that.
Explain just what you mean by a good story. Good story is more than just, that's brilliant. You want something that is...
Well, the first thing that I ask them is, what do you want to do? What kind of movies do you want to make? Do you want to make movies that are very close to you and very personal, or do you want to make money? And they say, well, both. It's like, which one more? I want to know which one more. And then they'll say, well, one that's close to me. I'm like, all right, well, I probably wouldn't work with you then. Because what you have to do is you have to establish yourself first. To be established is people have to see that you've sold a film. They have to see that DVD that's, you know, shrink-wrapped. They want to see it at Redbox, at Hulu, on Netflix. And So you have to do something that's marketable. So to me, a good story, to answer your question, is a story that's going to be released and do a good job that people are going to want to watch. The hardest sell is a drama with no names.
Yeah.
I mean, would you watch it?
A personal story would have to be a great personal story that really will appeal to other people, but certain genres are good places to start.
Yeah, well, you know, it could be a drama, and let's say you shot it for, you know, low budget and have no big names, but it's an amazing story. It's not going to sell.
No.
It's not going to sell. I mean, because the reality is, when you go to Netflix and you're clicking through, are you going to click on a drama that you've never heard of that has no names? Probably not, especially if there's one with a name right next to it. So that's kind of how you have to see it. You have to look at it with a marketing eye.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis. It is Pledge Drive, so during our break is a perfect time to give us a call. Not that I'm saying you shouldn't listen to our break, which is probably just going to ask you to call us anyway. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Give us a call. Give us a listen to this, and then we'll be back. And Israel Luna is our guest. We'll talk more with him. Josh,
Hi, this is Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
Opening.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis. It is Pledge Drive. Nobody called during that break, so why don't we take another break? No, we're not going to take another break, but we are.
Give us a call. 972-647-1893. Again, the number is 972-647-1893.
And some of the reasons to pledge, you know, it's all live and it's all local here on KNON. None of our programs are pre-programmed. None of them are programmed from out of town. On this station, all of our talk shows are live and local. You know, and we have guests, everybody from local talent like Israel, who's a filmmaker. Eddie Bernice Johnson was with us a couple of weeks ago. We have national figures who are on. Next week, Rafael Anchia, state representative, he'll be with us. So, you know, we have wonderful guests that are of interest to the local community and others who are nationally known, like Kevin Jennings, and we had Sally Ride's partner on a few weeks ago. We've been getting wonderful guests here. The music programming, this is where you hear all of the local artists first.
Yep.
First station, Lisa Loeb was on it. In fact, our show was the first show that her music was played on. Nora Jones was first heard here on KNON.
Dixie Chicks, some of their early music was played
Dixie
here.
Chicks were guests of ours on our show. She has not been on our show. Why not? We were making a list of who we want.
We need to put her on the list of who we want to get on.
But 972-647-1893. Thank you. I'm doing a Patty and blanking out on what the number is because I haven't said that number enough times.
972-647-1893. And in order to keep
30 years I've been saying
guests.
That number during pledge drives, two or three pledge drives every quarter, and you say it 50 times in the hour, no wonder I can't remember the number, right? 972-647-1893. Give us a call. We do need your help.
We are talking with Israel Luna, and before the break, we were talking about just how to put a film together, kind of the early steps. You were talking about specifically the marketing of a film, and it has to be marketable. I totally get that. But you have stepped outside of their horror genre with one of my favorite films of yours, and that's Are You Invited?
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I love that. I own it.
That's a nice surprise. Yeah. Holy, I thought you were going to say something else.
No, that's great. So what made you even think, oh, let me step outside of that? And I guess what another thing I want to ask, is it harder, because that is kind of a love story.
Yeah.
But it's a gay love story. Is it harder to get your film, to get funding for a film with a gay storyline and as a gay filmmaker?
You know, that's a great question because of the evolving of everything and rights and, you know, things have changed since, you know, the early 2000s. So when I did Are You Invited and I wrote it, there was a market for it because there was a lack of gay content.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed today to where you see less and less gay and lesbian film festivals. You know, so it has changed. But at the time when I wrote Are You Invited, Yes, I knew that I would sell it because the moment I was done with it, I had two distributors already wanting to get it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and I did it because I wrote the movie because I was a fan of gay films, and I wanted to see my community represented, and I wanted to see myself in these movies going, oh, my God, I relate to all these people. But none of the films really struck a chord with me like, oh, that's not how my friends talk. That's not how I talk to all my friends. Right. These aren't real-life things. It was always like boy meets boy, boy breaks up with boy, and then boy gets boy back. And it's like boring.
Right.
I wanted to do something that I thought, yes, this is how people really talk. And that's
boy
why
meets
I
boy,
wrote it.
Boy slashes boy.
It's not horror at all.
This
one's the one that's not horror. That's yeah. Not. But, you know, I didn't have much of a budget, so I thought, what can I do with one big location and just a group of people and make a full film about it? Mm-hmm. And that's what I did with this one, and it did really well.
Speaking of budget, because we're speaking of budget here.
We're speaking of budget.
972-647-1893. And give us a call at his pledge drive this week. But speaking of budget.
Yes.
How do you raise the money for a film? I mean, lots of people want to make films, and to just go to people, you know, I could go to Josh and say, hey, Josh, I need $15 million to make a film, and can you give it to me? And Josh would say,
no.
Right?
Right.
Right. But how do you raise the money for a film?
Well, you put on some fishnet stockings, go to Harry Hines, and, you know, that's how you get started.
And that seems like as good a way as anything I can think of. It worked for us our last pledge drive. Yeah,
it worked. And you know what? Whatever works.
You know, it's the $64,000 question. And the honest answer is there isn't a list online where you can say, you know, do a search for, you know, investors, and then there's a list of people just waiting to invest in your film. It's a lot more complex than that. What you have to do is you have to get all of your ducks in a row. You have to have a budget breakdown of your script, and, you know, it's called an EPK, electronic press kit. So then you give that to people who, you know, might be interested in funding it, which are friends, family members, somebody online. There's a whole Craigslist ad outside of Men Seeking Men, you know, casual encounters, not that I know about any of those. But, you know, if you go to like Crew, if you go to creative, go to all of those categories, and you can post. Just get the word out. And like with me, for example, is the person who ended up investing in my first film, he said, yes, I read your script and everything, but I didn't invest in you because of the story. I invested in you because I saw it in you, because I believe in you. When you talk about it, you light up. When you talk about it, I know you're serious about it, and I know this isn't going to be a fly-by-night thing, and then you're going to want to do something else next year. And that's what he invested in, and he's now my business partner. We've been business partners for 15 years now, and he funded my first three films.
I've noticed that now with all these GoFunds account online, I've noticed that some music artists, either who aren't as popular as they used to be or they're still up and coming, they have created accounts to help the public fund them for making an album. Is that kind of thing going on for independent filmmakers?
Yes, it is. And it's unfortunate that the distributors come in. This is pretty much what happens as a filmmaker. You get these private investors, you sell the film, and by the time the studio, the distribution company gets paid back, the filmmaker really never makes anything. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out ways to start making money with that. And I think a lot of these artists, when the studio purchases your music, they're pretty much making all the money.
They are.
You have to figure out ways to do it yourself. Like in their case, they would probably do live shows, and that's how they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do – well, I mean, I've been fortunate enough that now my projects actually – the studio gets paid back, and then I make some off of that. Or they're just simply just flat out funding my films. I don't have to get private investors anymore, although I still do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's really tricky. You have to know the business for sure.
And you're asking about a GoFundMe account. That's a good way to raise a few $1,000s. It's not a good way to raise a few $1,000,000. And I'm not saying that you're in that range yet.
Right.
But you're building.
Yes, and it's
and that would get harder and harder to raise money that way.
Right, and it's happened, but this is like when you have a Zach Braff after he did, you know, Garden State,
right,
and now
right.
he posts on GoFundMe or whatever the others are, Kickstarter, and I think the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, and they do raise a lot of money. But for the average person, it is a good way to raise certain funds, but don't plan on that money, though. You know, that's just like additional mm-hmm. money. We did one for Kicking Zombie Ass for Jesus, and we raised almost $8,000, and that helped out a lot to help mm-hmm. finish it. Right. So, you know, it's good to have those avenues now. Mm-hmm. We didn't have those outlets mm-hmm. before.
Mm-hmm. And mentioning Kicking Ass for Zombie Kicking Ass for Jesus, again, that's the follow-up. I don't know if we mentioned this before. It's kind of a follow-up to a real controversial film you did called Tricked Off Trannies
yes.
with Knives.
Yes.
That
movie changed my life.
Yeah. And it's probably your most popular movie.
Yes. Well, that one and now Ouija Experiment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Ty.
Why were people mad at you about that?
Well, honestly, they were mad immediately because of the word trannies.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like the word trannies, and they thought it was a pejorative term, and I didn't know that. I've always had...
It wasn't... It was just becoming one at the time, a pejorative word.
I guess. I mean, movie was a community effort, and I have transgender women in front of and behind the camera, and everyone was okay with it.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen the film several times. Again, another one that I own. And it has local talent in it. The actors or actresses are
everything.
Local.
Everything.
Just great about
people
the
that you know from the
absolutely.
From the
Except
Rose Room.
Willem's in L.A.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Yeah. If you go to the Rose Room, you'll see the same people that was in this film.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Israel. I didn't know that it was offensive term until I heard the hoopla about it. I don't know. I think that was, even after you found out, that wasn't your intent. Because there's a lot of transgender women who use that term themselves.
Right. Well, I think a lot of the controversy began because of the word, and they hadn't seen the film yet. All this controversy started before we had actually screened at Tribeca.
Mm-hmm.
So after it came out, then we started having all of these positive reviews saying, oh, Israel Luna is not, you know, our enemy. This is a very self-empowering film, and it's very pro-trans.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's going on right now in Oklahoma, the, you know, unfortunate bashings or whatever.
The hate crimes.
This is a kind of good film to watch because, you know, it's a community fighting back.
Yes, it's
so
them fighting back.
It's an awesome little film. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just wanted to know what were your thoughts about it. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to tell your side of the story publicly about, you know, that word and the controversy that it caused.
Yeah, for me, I just wanted to make a film based on the movies that I grew up with, like I Spit on Your Grave and you know, these other 80s films about these women that would, like, be bashed and raped, and then they would just come back for revenge, and they would slaughter them off, and then they're happy about it at the end. And I thought, I want to do that, but with transgender women, because I think that at the time, this was 2010,
mm-hmm.
that they were the toughest that society was accepting. You know, every gay man, you know, we were already in the mainstream. We were in mm-hmm. Will and Grace and blah, blah, blah. We were becoming like that person that was like starting gay
equality.
And
it was before there were any transgender characters on TV.
Correct. My movie,
without even
knowing this, is the first movie in history to feature a female, transgender female in a lead role in a movie.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even know that.
Wow. Hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, so we were.
So
isn't it funny how sometimes, like, when they asked us seriously to do this radio show, and we started doing a gay radio show, and it's like people are saying in Dallas, and it never even occurred to us that, yeah, well, we're the oldest. Uh-huh. You know, same thing, that didn't occur to you that there was anything groundbreaking about putting
right.
a transgender
right.
person in
fact,
a lead role.
Yeah, and I love mm-hmm. that when people, you know, ask about Ticked Off Trannies with Knives, and then they realize that it was shot in Dallas in
mm-hmm.
the Bible Belt.
Right, right.
I love that even more.
So what have the stars of the movie, what have they had to say about the title?
Oh, they were – I mean, we were all like one big like army team fighting back saying, what are you talking about? This is a great
film.
Watch it
film,
first.
Yeah.
Just – watch it first and then judge it, but they wouldn't. You know, when people make up their minds, there's no talking to them.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
So, but it did great things for my career.
I was going to say, it kind of helped in...
Oh, my gosh, yes.
How's the saying go? No publicity is bad publicity?
It's
there
true.
There you go.
It's true.
Because the film was picked up by...
Breaking Glass Pictures. But we got into Tribeca, Robert De Niro's film festival. It's one of the top three film festivals in the world. And we were in it, and we didn't even screen once. We screened four times to sold-out shows. So we were the most. We were voted the most popular film that year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, awesome. Crazy. Yeah.
Well, you need another controversial one.
Oh, there's one. I have something up my sleeve as well. Yeah. Okay. I can't say too much about it, but I just finished writing it like 2 weeks ago, and it's going to be my next film. All I can say about it is do a Google search for a word called pederasty.
Okay.
That's what it's about.
And it takes place in a radio station. Speaking of radio stations, it is Pledge Drive. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Laurent, one way that people can make a donation is by being an Elite Music sponsor. What is that?
There is. Our Elite Music sponsor is, for $500, you can get into any KNON event for the entire year. And that's a lot because we have anywhere from 40 to 50 events a year. And we're talking about music shows that come with music. I'm sorry, that come with food and drinking. And, you know, it's just a really good time. That's a lot of events. Even after just one or two events, you probably have already paid it off.
Right, because tickets for two to a show, plus food.
Plus drinks.
Sure,
you know,
that's
plus
100.
Parking.
So you go to five of them even during the year. And you've certainly paid it off. 972-647-1893. That's for a $500 pledge. One of the other things you can be an elite. What do we call it? Have your name put up on the wall of honor.
It's our KNON studio plaque. You can have your name engraved.
That's
on
what I'm
there.
Trying to say. Now it's not working today.
And you will forever be remembered here at KNON. It's a gold plaque, has your name on it. It's awesome, and that is for $1,000.
And reason to listen to KNON, you rarely hear this music anywhere else, the music that we play on this station. And the other thing is, if you don't like the format, you know, with other stations, you don't like the format, you don't set that station. With us, wait an hour and the format changes because we don't have any one format. We have about 40 different formats on this station. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. You know, and one of the things about this show, our guests, lots of them are gay and lesbian or have something to do with the gay and lesbian community. Again, that's something you don't hear anywhere else.
Nope.
And our guest today is Israel Luna. He is a filmmaker. And we're just talking about how do you do that? How did you hook up with studios? Like, you know, you started off, you were in Tribeca with your last film. Is that your last film?
No, my last one was Ouija Resurrection, right, which is the sequel to my movie Ouija Experiment.
Because that was 5 years ago, ticked off.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's getting a re-release, by the way.
Oh,
it's, the numbers are growing after, you know, since 2010, which 5 years later and the numbers are starting to grow again. And I think it's because of the whole trans movement. So we were, you know, a part of all of that, you know, 5 years ago, please. It's old news now for us. But they are getting a re-release and it's getting a re-release on Blu-ray as well.
Huh. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're international now, like South Africa now and Australia. It's really crazy.
So awesome. How did that happen? How do you get picked up that way for... you know, that film's been out there, so people have seen it. Were you contacted about it?
Well, the distributor that purchased it, he got it at, I think it was our second screening at Tribeca, and there was a distributor. I mean, it's like a filmmaker's dream. The distributor's in the audience, and during our Q&A, he got up and he asked a question, and he said, I have a question. That music in your film, do you have the rights to all of that? And I said, yes, I do. You must be a distributor. And he's like, yes, I am. We should talk after. And I was like, okay. We talked after. He got the film. So we just recently ended our contract. And so we renegotiated the contract because he wanted to re-release it on DVD. But he didn't want us to take the film and go to another distributor. So we're like, all right, well, you've been good to us. So we'll be good to you. So we re-signed.
So it's a good contract. You think both of you will make money?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be. I mean,
that's how it should be.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things about another big part, if you're not one of the main parts of filmmaking, is finding the talent.
Yes.
You know, I used to be an actor myself and been in a couple of films, and it's always like, oh, got to go for another audition. Do you have auditions, or do you just go to people that you know, hey, you'd be good for this role?
I would say it's 50-50. With the films that I've done like a good 8 films. I have my core talent that I know – oh, I want to write this role for this actor. Mm-hmm. But for the other roles, you know, because I don't want to write a script, you know, based on, ooh, I want to use these people. I just have to write a story and then start casting it. And if there are roles that I don't know who's going to fill, then I will have auditions. Yeah. Hmm. But, yeah, I like casting people that I've already worked with and I get along with really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make a bigger difference for somebody like you doing a small budget, a low budget film? Even more than in a big budget film, because you have to have that rapport, and having that rapport cuts down on the cost because you're used to working together. You know, you give a direction, your actor knows what you're looking for.
Yeah, well, Willem Belli, who's become this internet sensation, and you know, she's doing so well. You know, it's just like with Willem, you know, we have that connection on set. We know just with looks, you know, if we need to do another take or if we have mm-hmm. to shoot it a different way. But for me, I like to just pay everyone and just get that taken care of, not saying, well, I mean, I did that once for the Ouija experiment, mm-hmm. but I do try not to even start a project unless I have my budget. But with Ouija experiment, this was right after Ticked Off Trannies, and we were raising money for Kicking Zombie Ass for Jesus, and I just wanted to stay busy, and I thought, well, I have nothing to do until then, so let's just do this movie. So we shot Ouija Experiment in Mesquite. Everyone did it for deferred payment, and for any of you who are out there that, you know, that usually means you're not going to get paid.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, we shot it for $1,200, and that's because I got a lot of Taco Bell meals for my cast, and that's where that went. But we sold it, and I was so happy that when, you know, that got picked up, you know, I was finally able to pay all of my actors and write those checks and send it to them, and they were really happy about
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
So I try not to shoot a film without a budget
mm-hmm.
Or a really, really low budget to where, you know, yes, they believe in the film, but I don't want to do that to them. They might do it, but I don't want to ask them to.
We need to take a break. I've wanted to go on with that a little bit, but okay. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis. Well, it is pledge drive.
Give us a call at 972-647-1893. Josh and Chris and Doc are all standing by waiting to talk to you. Again, that's 972-647-1893.
This is Janice McCall from TCU, and I listen to Lambda Week on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas.
And push the button. Thank you. Welcome back to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis. It is Pledge Drive.
972-647-1893. Give us a call and get a premium.
You know, the station gives us this whole list of reasons that we're different. Like they have to explain it.
Right.
We don't play the top 40. We play the bottom billion.
So, hey, that's a great little line.
Yeah, but that is KNON. We don't play the top 40 on our music shows, and our guests are not the guests that you're going to find on other shows. And usually, you know, the few times that we've had somebody, like they're on something else on Friday or Saturday and then come on our show, they say on our show, you know, it's kind of interesting. You picked up where they left off. They were just kind of explaining the gay, and you're assuming your audience understands it already. And that is one of the differences between our show and our guests and
everybody else. Like, we didn't need to explain to our audience what a tranny was.
Right.
It's a transmission, right?
You know, our DJs care about the music that they play. Our talk show hosts like us, we care about the guests that we have on. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Operators are standing by, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, they are.
And literally standing, because this is KNON. We only have chairs for two.
Nice.
It's a way to save money.
Yep. And talking about saving money, let's get back to Israel Luna.
Yeah, I want to get back to right where we were. Okay, so what I was talking about was, does it save you money by having an actor that you're so used to working with? Like I know with Laurent and I, when Patty's here too, we can just signal each other and we understand what those hand signals mean. Josh, who's been with us a couple of years now, you know, he just puts up two fingers and I know, okay, it's time for a break, and you know, we know to. And we can just glance at each other and we know what it means. Do you get that kind of rapport working with an actor that you can really pull that that performance out of him just by certain glances, just because you've worked together enough?
Uh-huh. Now, I'm not sure if I'm understanding the question, because you said, does it save me money?
Well, does it save you time, which saves you money? Does it save you? Do you get more out of him in a day? You know, it's more expensive if a film takes a month to film rather than 2 weeks, and so you can do it quicker and get the performance that you want.
No, absolutely. Yeah, that's why with the people that I'm not auditioning for, I have, you know, a group of people that I think, oh, I'm going to so cast this person. Like, for example, Alan Carroll, she's amazing. She's been in three of my projects, and for this film that I'm doing for next year, I already cast a role for her, because we get each other, especially on the set, because there's so much chaos going on. It does save you time and energy, especially, and this even happens during pre-production, before you're even on the set. You've already talked about the character. You know what you want out of that person. And all I ask my actors is just know your lines, because then when we're at the location, little things might change. We might change a line or two, but they already know what they're going to do and how they're going to deliver it. And I don't even really have to direct them on the set, because I'm just too worried about my camera, because they already know what they're doing.
And you just mentioned something that's a major part of filmmaking: location. Yes. You got to find a location to shoot your movie. I mean, I noticed in Are You Invited, the entire thing was shot at a house.
Yeah.
Was that done to save money?
Yes.
I kind of figured that.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I saw this filmmaker DVD back in the day, and they said, you know, if you want to shoot your first film and you want to make it successful, find one location, one group of people, and then a great storyline, because there's no budget to a great storyline. And I thought, you know what? Can I tell them the storyline? It's pretty much...
Yeah, tell them.
You're like, I don't know. It's just pretty much about a group of guys who all get an email invite to a
party.
Yeah, a party that night.
A party.
And so the whole movie just takes place in one, you know, at one of the characters' houses, where they're talking about it, because they are all in different levels of relationships, from the slut to the monogamous couple, and they all talk about if they should or should not go. Mm-hmm. And that's what the movie's about. So it is a love story, yeah.
Yeah, and it worked. It worked in one location.
Thank you. It totally worked. Yeah. And, of course, we threw in a lot of nudity.
Yes.
Which always helps sell a movie.
Of course.
I'm sure you didn't pay any attention to that, though.
No.
It was all about the story.
Yeah, it was about the story. He related to the slut.
Yeah.
Laurent, I'm just so disappointed in you.
He just put that out there, didn't he? For the world to hear.
I hope you're not listening, Danny.
Yeah. The one time that he is.
Right.
Don't you find that interesting that none of our spouses ever listen? I do want to just break in one more time. It is Pledge Drive 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Or you can text KNON to 56512. That's KNON to 56512. Or you can go online to KNON.org. And just click on the pledge button and make your pledge. We're always looking for monthly pledgers. If you'd like to make a monthly pledge, you can do that. And then just call in, give us your basic information. They'll get back to you from the office here at the studio during the week. So we'll need your name and your phone number and how much you're planning on pledging on a monthly basis. And those are great, because what that does is it ensures that we have monthly income coming into the station. So we can just do a monthly draft out of your out of a bank account. So 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Give us a call.
And let me tell you just about some of our other premiums lower down on the scale. You know, we always talk about, Patty and I, we've always talked about how cool it is when we're out and about and somebody spots our KNON shirt or our KNON hat and they stop us and say something. Or how cool it is if you see a KNON bumper sticker on a car. Well, you can get a KNON license plate frame, and it's only $25. I've seen a few of those around town. That's really cool. It makes you stand out. And also, back to the coffee. I don't know where the coffee's grown now. Maybe David will find that out for us.
But we used to go out and pick it, but now on the mountain slopes outside of our Oaklawn studio.
Yeah. But now you can get that bag for $30. And, again, it is starting to get a little cool outside. So I've told you about the hoodie, but you can also get a regular long-sleeve soft-style T-shirt. And those are really nice.
So give us a call, 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. We're talking to filmmaker Israel Luna. Israel, one of the things that you said was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there were a lot more film festivals for you to submit to, especially gay film festivals, and there really aren't as many anymore. We don't have one in Dallas, but they do have Q Cinema still over in Fort Worth.
Yes. Q Cinema rocks.
Yeah, they do.
And yes. Austin has one.
Yes. Yes.
And that one's still going on?
Yes.
Why are there fewer film festivals, do you think?
Well, I think because we're blending in with everybody
We've
else.
We've assimilated.
Assimilated. That's a good word. That I think that's what's happened with a lot of things. That's why I think, you know, it's less of a big deal to go down to Oaklawn and Cedar Springs. It's still there, but, you know, we're not... you know, that abomination anymore. We're not those evil people. We're just like everybody. So I think that's kind of what's happened with film festivals as well. I mean, I honestly can't think of a gay-themed film that I've seen in the last, I don't know, 3 years, maybe one.
Yeah, I mean, you
know? Is it that because gay characters are just in films?
Well, I personally think as a filmmaker that no one's pushing limits anymore. It's like it can't be a regular story, but it has gay people in it. You have to give us more now. That's, you know, before in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, yes. If it was just, you know, a love story and it was gay, it's like, oh, my God, we need that. Like a Broken Hearts Club or, you know, something like that.
Right.
But now it's like, okay, we've seen it all. Now give us something else that just happens to have gay characters in it. But what's the hook? You know?
Right. I think as far as the mainstream movies, I think they're still sorely lacking for gay. Well, first of all, there's no major filmmakers, movies with a gay lead. None. I can't think of any in the last 10 years outside of Brokeback Mountain, which, again, David and I joked about this before the show. That was supposedly an indie film at a budget of $8 to $10 million. Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot. There's still a lot of ground to cover as far as major films. Indie films, yes. There's a lot of gay characters, a lot. But you kind of have to, as a fan myself, I have to go seek them out.
So why aren't there the film festivals to see them? Do you think it's because you can just see them online? People just make them and stream them.
That's
you
a good question. I'm not sure.
You can. For me, I have to go like Netflix. Not trying to give Netflix a plug here, but that's how I find most of my gay films. Because you can't go see them. You used to just go see them at, you know, some of the art houses here, but, you know,
right.
I don't see them anymore.
And I think what also happens is film festivals are very political. So, you know, they say, well, we need to have at least like the token transgender one. We have to have the token documentary. We have to. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're that good. It's just that they need them to fill a spot for their film festival.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a film festival, and I don't know. Well, I think since Ticked Off Trannies, because the purpose for film festivals is to seek distribution. A lot of people don't get that.
Right.
And I just already have distribution when I make mine now. So, glad. I hate
but there are fewer film festivals, it seems like. So is that because that's just not the route that filmmakers are going right now to find distribution? I mean, you have yours, I'm talking about in general.
Right. No, I think a lot of people still submit to film festivals, but I think because they're oversaturated now with film festivals, because now you have the Podunk Mom Pa film festival over here that might have just two movies, but they're wanting to make money off of the submission fees. So, you know, when you have a ton cropping up everywhere, it makes the ones that are slightly bigger kind of go
dilutes
away.
Them. It dilutes them till then.
And I mean, and Dallas lost theirs years ago, right?
Yeah, Outtakes.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
It's been,
but
it petered out.
It was pretty successful while it was going.
Yeah.
I loved Outtakes.
But that was never one really to find distributors, was it?
Film festivals are to find distributors.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like when you make an indie film, how do the distributors see it? Well, film festivals began by saying, we're going to screen your film, and in hopes that there will be distributors in the audience, and then you sell your film. It's almost like we're the indie grocery store, and people come in to buy them. That's what the purpose
of. Okay, so now a lot of them are streamed online, yes. And your films have been streamed.
Yes.
Is that something – is that helping independent filmmakers?
Yes. Well, it's helping have another outlet, but it doesn't help you get distribution. People need to just have a good product. You can't have a crappy project and say, well, but we have all of these outlets. Well, but your movie doesn't make your movie any better.
Right.
Your movie still sucks.
Right.
You know, you have to make a good film.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've discovered with trying to help mentor certain people who want to get started as filmmakers is they don't listen. They think that what the success that I've had has been by accident. Like, well, Ezra doesn't know what he's doing. He just makes a movie, and then perchance, you know, something happens that he gets distribution. Well, no, I kind of know what I'm doing. You just don't want to listen because they will say, well, no, but my project is this. I'm like, well, yeah, but it has to be this. Well, I don't want it to be that. Okay, well, then why am I here? Why are you wasting my time? You already know it all. Why do you need me?
Well, and where do you want to go with your career? Outside of obviously making money. Would you – because, you know – being a filmmaker, like we talked about, you wearing a lot of different hats.
Yeah.
Would you like to get to the point where you're just concentrating on the writing or just the directing?
I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to direct another project, but the way it goes, I might read a project and I think, okay, it's not very marketable. Or the story flow isn't the right flow. And now I will go back to them and say, you know, if you could add this, and the moment you give a critique – you get to know their true selves, because then they will either turn into a zombie and they don't want to speak to you anymore because they want to hear that it's a masterpiece, or they will actually listen, 9 times out of 10 they're not, and actually like take my advice.
Okay, so as a writer, I can tell you that every good writer has a good editor.
Tell these people that. I agree.
I don't care what it is that you're writing. Any good writer has a good editor.
I agree.
And basically what you're doing by saying this is what you need to do to make that story pop.
Yeah, and you know, perfect
is editing.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine, and I'm going to give him props, and I'm going to mention him. His name is Taylor Bridges. He's 19 years old. He shot a horror film. When he was starting it, I let him use my equipment and my camera too. And I had to throw that in there. But he has listened and let me mentor him through this process. And guess what? A studio already wants to see his film. At 19 years old, he's this close to getting distribution for his horror film.
Hmm.
And he was interviewed at his screening, and they said, you know, what advice would you give to other filmmakers who want to get started? And he said, listen to your mentors. Listen to the people who have already been there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's
going
to make it because he's one of those people that did listen.
When you're writing, how long does it take you to write a script? And I know there's not one answer.
Yeah, well,
because everything is different.
Yeah. Right. The I would say an average of 3 weeks.
So you're writing quickly.
Yeah.
That's writing a lot.
Yes. Well, you know, when you get writer's block and you're stuck, it's because you're boring yourself with your project. So if you're boring yourself, how do you think the audience is going to feel? With me, I always have like 3 or 4 ideas floating around, and then I think, oh, I want to do this one, but then one of them stands out and says, oh, you're writing me, and then I immediately think, I'm excited to write this. I want to write this all right now.
And when you say 3 weeks, how long are your writing sessions? Every day, and how long every day?
I would say every day. I would say about 4 or 5 hours, because at about the 5 hour mark, I'm like, okay, I need to stop.
Right.
But what I do, my little secret to keep writing, is when you get to a certain point where you're anxious to write the next scene because it's just getting good, or somebody's about to have a fight, or something dramatic's going to happen, I stop. Because then I can't wait to start writing it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay.
That works for me.
How much editing do you do after you've finished it? So you've written it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not quite ready to film. Then do you go back and edit a week later,
a month later? I read it or hand it over to other writers that I know or other people who love to read books. And I say, be brutal. Let me have it. And then they will comment, and they will be brutally honest. And then I take those notes, and then I, you know, tweak it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we shoot it and it's edited, I have a screening with a select few people, hand out anonymous comment cards, get their takes on that to see if that's going to be the final edit. Sometimes I change it again. I did that with Ticked Off Trend. It's this entire process with all of my films before I even release it to the quote, general public. Mm-hmm. People don't do that. They don't do that because they don't want to hear the critique,
they
you know?
They don't.
They want to hear, it's amazing. It's perfect.
Right.
There's no movie in history just like the one you just made. That's what they want to hear.
And it generally isn't perfect, is it?
Right.
But it's funny how when you say you're writing a different thing. You're writing a script. I'm usually writing an article. Some of the things that I think are the best ones that I've written, just I sit down and just bang it out. Now, it's a much shorter piece. And then, but some of the ones that at the end of it I go, are things that I've worked on for days.
But then they're probably fantastic?
No.
Or not?
No, oh, not necessarily. Sometimes some of the best ones are the ones you can just bang out there and, you know, the editor says, oh, let's just change this to this and that to that. But that's great, you know. Yeah. And they just, they come together by themselves. So those are the pieces.
You got to be willing to do that.
We are at the end of our hour. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893 is our number. Is the next show here, Doc? We don't see him, so we can just keep talking a little bit. And we'll take a top of the hour in a minute. 972-647-1893. We want to thank Laura for making a pledge, and we do appreciate that. 972-647-1893. Give us a call. I guess we're still standing by.
Yeah, but
Let us take a break for the top of the hour, and we're going to keep talking to Israel Luna. I see a car pulling up right outside our studio in the plaza, so I guess that is that must be the next show. But why don't we take a break just for top of the hour?
You are listening to KNON 89.3 FM in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
I plug my competition, my film competition.
Well, you just did. Because the
microphone
is on.
We're on there.
972-647-1893. Go ahead.
I'm glad I didn't say something dirty.
Well, we would have. We have buttons. Yeah.
Okay. No. I have a film competition that I run. Actually, I started. It's called Rack Focus, and right now we have 30 films competing.
Oh, that's cool.
They're being produced right now. It's 10 minutes or less, and they have until November 30th to turn it in. And for all of the ones who make the deadline, we are screening all their films at the Granada Theater on December 15th and 16th from 7 to 11. And it's going to be an amazing little piece of Hollywood in Lower Greenville here in Dallas.
And who can come see it? I would love
everybody.
To go see that.
Oh, everybody.
I will be there.
30 short films, all locally done, local cast, local crew, everything.
When you say short films, what's the length?
10 minutes or less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is short.
Now, if somebody is just starting to go into filmmaking, is that something you recommend? Do a film 10 minutes, see how that...
Absolutely, yes, because it teaches you production.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you production and story and story flow and, most importantly, self-discipline, because you have to shoot and edit it down to 10 minutes or less.
And you have to, but you have to do all those things that go into making a film:
Absolutely.
Writing it, editing it, filming it, hiring actors, doing all that stuff.
Yes.
And you put it.
And of course, the first thing you get is people saying, "Well, I shot that. Can it be 11-12 minutes?" No. Teach yourself self-discipline. Like, well, you can't tell a good story in 10 minutes. A good filmmaker can.
Yep.
A good editor can.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
And Israel, I want to thank you.
Thank
the
you
next
so
show
much.
Is here.
Yeah,
They're
thank you. This is fun.
You about ready?
I am ready.
They are ready to go. So thank you for being with us. And we'll be back next week with Rafael Anchia. We'll be our guest. And if you'd like to still make a pledge, 972-647-1893. And we're